Cool. Well, we are still in our series, Dreamer. I love when God just moves in the middle of a service. Isn't that great? So cool. We are still in a series called Dreamer. It's looking at the life of Joseph and everything he went through. He was the dreamer of the Bible. He was a dreamer. A lot of times dreamers kind of get like the negative rap. Like they're just in it. And today we're continuing on with that, with the concept when it says in the Bible, when Joseph dreamed again, he remembered. This is kind of like re-dream. And I just want to break down a scripture I found in Zechariah chapter 3 today and just go through that and look at three things that we can do to re-dream. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So just jumping straight into it, it's a good chunk of scripture today. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. I love that imagery. No matter how many times the enemy comes and says, hey, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you've messed up, it's over, consider yourself done, Jesus is standing right there. Verse 3, Jeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Jeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you these fine new clothes. Then I said, they should also place a clean turban on his head. So he put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Jeshua and said, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. I will let you walk among these others standing here. Verse 8, listen to me, O Jeshua, the high priest, and all you other priests. You are symbols of things to come. Soon I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Everyone say the branch.
The branch.
Verse 9, now look at the jewel I have set before Jeshua, a single stone with seven facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of heaven's army. And I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. And on that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree. 3 points. Number one, he has redeemed you. He has redeemed you. You could change it to he has redeemed me. I love that concept of there's a smoldering fire and all the sticks and branches and everything's. Have you ever been camping or to the beach? You know the bonfire? And everything's on fire, it's in there. Like God reaches in, grabs one that's on fire, pulls it out and says, you're brand new. You're no longer burning. You're no longer in the depths. It's no longer over. It's brand new, it's fresh. He's got me. He's redemed me. I remember I've told this story before, what made me fall in love with hockey at Joe's house. He's like, oh, just watch one game. Just watch one game. And so we're like, okay, I'll check it out.
It was playoffs.
I was like, let's check it out. It was a year and a half ago or so, or a year ago. Not this last one, because we don't talk about that with the Kings. But the one before that, last season didn't happen for the Kings. The one before that, we sit down, we're watching the hockey game, and it was seconds left. Just seconds left. And were they tied? They were behind, down by one. Seconds left, and I was like, in my head, I'm like, oh, it's going to be over, you know, let's just go to bed, the game's done, it's over, I've seen enough sports to know, a few seconds left, it's probably nothing, and all of a sudden, boom, they get it tied, and then with two seconds on the clock, score another one to clinch the win. I was like, okay, I'm a hockey lover now. That was the most insane thing I've ever seen in that fast, that soon. I can't believe. And I just had that imagery of That's God. It doesn't matter if the enemy says we're behind or losing or not worthy or not worth it or whatever in our lives. He's like, it's not over till I say it's over.
Amen.
I spoke the creation into this world. I said light before light happened. I'm calling you redeemed. I'm pulling you out. The enemy already says it's over for your life. Nope, I got you. He redeems us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 12. I love this concept. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. I don't know about you, but I felt like earlier in my life, I fell into that routine. Like that priest routine, if you will. Like trying to do something over and over and over and over and over and over and expecting God to change the outcome. Like, I could become my own Jesus by apologizing enough or doing certain actions enough. Like, oh, if I take out the trash enough for my mom, I'll be better. You know, I'll be saved and go to heaven because I'm good enough. That's this idea of, are you in this routine of trying to save yourself? Or do you give up to God fully and say, there is nothing I can do. Trust me, God, you need to take the wheel. You know, okay, never mind. Jesus, take the wheel. All right. Has anyone seen that vine? Does anyone know that some people do, some people don't? There's this guy driving his car and he's sitting there and all of a sudden Jesus take the wheel comes on and he puts his hand down and the car's moving and Jesus flies in like and then grabs the wheel through the window and it's like, anyways. It's like 5 seconds long, so it's not, it's so funny. I got distracted by that myself. All right. Do you know, there's on this earth, there's two types of tests. Two types of tests that we have in North America, just two tests. There's one that's an acceptance test. Like if you want to go to Harvard, Yale, wherever, you got to be taking a test to get accepted, right? You can't just show up to Harvard and be like, I know I'm good enough to go here. And they're like, oh, you do? Come on in. You're good. You know, they're known for turning people away because they're not, they can't pass the acceptance test. Whatever that acceptance test is, it's SATs, ABCs, CSTs, I don't know, whatever it is, there's an acceptance test to get in. And I was thinking about this. There's two types of tests, and one test is an acceptance test. Who took our acceptance test to heaven? Basic concept. Jesus, right? So, check out this verse. Matthew 3:17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. With him I am well pleased. It's right as Jesus gets baptized. He goes down, comes up. Heaven opens up and God says this audibly in front of everyone. This is my son, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus did nothing yet. He hasn't gone up on the mountain and been challenged by Satan himself. He hasn't taken whips. He hasn't died on the cross. He's literally just showed up and got in the water and got baptized. And God says, I'm pleased. It's like, okay. So I want to challenge this thinking. Up to that point, Jesus passed his acceptance test. So what was he doing on the rest of the earth? He's passing our test. He passed our acceptance test. And God's love, God's grace, redemption. He passed our test. And so, isn't it funny how we can sometimes try to do better and try to pass our own test when Jesus already got 100%? The closest we can ever get is 99, and we're still short. We still don't match up. That's not good enough. You have to get 100%. And God already took the test, and we're still trying to take the test every once in a while. Jesus, take the wheel. That should have been the first point. Darn. So the second test, the first test in North America, you take the SATs, ACTs, whatever, and you take the test and you get in. But then there's a second test you got to take once you're in. Does anyone know what it is? It's the advancement test. The advancement test. Once you're in, you have to still keep getting tested to go from one level to the next. Some people love to stay in one level and one grade, and college, a four-year college turns into a 27-year college. It's okay. The advancement test is our responsibility. Acceptance test is Jesus. He did it. We're in. We're good to go. Advancement test, it's on us. It's up to us if we get to the next level in our lives, right? And the sad thing is, some of us can get distracted and think, oh, I don't need to take an advancement test. I'm in. I'm okay being in the first grade forever. God's called us to more. We have more levels, more steps. We have to take the advancement test. And I love this. I heard this on a podcast. We don't like to be tested, right? And I mentioned this before. We don't like to be tested at all. How many people don't like to be tested? You don't really like tests. Thank you. I agree with you. Who loves tests? Oh my goodness. Oh my. You even got outed. You didn't raise your hand. And you got like we, for the most part, we don't like tests. And those who do, it's okay. We'll pray over you later. I'm just kidding. But we love the outcome of tests, right? Like we love things that have been tested because we know that it's good. It's proven true. We know that it's ready for use, right? Like, I said this last time, I don't want to hop in an airplane and a random guy was like, dude, I want to fly today. And you're like, go for it, you know, and just going for it, and he's never been tested. I want that guy to be tested and score a high grade on that. I want to make sure his level of passing is good enough to get that airplane to where I need to go. Likewise, people around us who need God, he tests us to move us to the next level. We're already accepted, but our advancement is being tested. We're being refined. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies say. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. I will let you walk among these others standing there. If you follow these guidelines, you're going to be tested, but you'll go to the next level. Number two, he has changed you. Kind of rhymes. Number two, he's changed you. Okay. Zechariah 3:5. Then I said, they should also place a clean turban on his head. So he put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. I think it's interesting. A lot of scholars all agree that the angel of the Lord is actually Jesus himself before he was born. Is that interesting? If the Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word was at the beginning of time, Jesus, it's the angel of the Lord. He's standing there before he was born, ready to go. This idea that Jesus says, you're here, I've pulled you out of the fires, I've redeemed you, I've passed your test, come out. And also he says, you know what, you were scathed, you're kind of gnarled up because of the flames, you're looking, I'm not going to use that slang term, you're just looking bad. We need to change your identity a little bit. So Jesus redeems you, pulls you out, then works on you, changing the identity of who you used to be and who you're called to be. It changes us. It changes us. And I love the imagery, the word for turban that they place on. You would, at that time period, in that context, the identifier between priest and high priest was turban a lot of times. So, interesting to think about this. Jesus redeemed him, pulled him out, didn't make him into a priest, but made him into a high priest. Do you know what the difference between high priest and priest is, besides a hat? One goes through rituals and routines and repetitive motions to get closer to God. And one goes into the presence of the Lord, walks into the inner sanctum and goes and has dialogue with the presence of God. God pulled you out of what you were in, not so you would go through the routines of life, but so you'd have presence and relationship with him. That's wild. It says, and then it has the audacity to say, what I've just done with you is going to be a symbol for when the branch shows up. We all know what the branch is. It's Jesus. He says, you're the symbol. So he says, not only I'm not making you into a repetitive routine person, I'm making you to have a relationship with me where no one else can do. No one else can go in, but you can go directly to me. My dad recently, okay, yeah, I thought I got mixed up. My dad recently retired, and he joined the retired club. And it's so funny because he was posting on Facebook. He goes, now that I'm retired, first order of agenda is teaching my wife to play golf. God bless her. he's one of those, he was a manager for 36 years at Intel in the break it department. What that department looked like was they have different departments, and it was the last Department of Defense, he would always say. Everything would go into research development, would be crafted, would be made, and then would be getting ready to be marketed, and would go to him, and then he'd get his whole team together and try to break it. How cool of a job is that? You get the latest technology, and your only job is try to make this catch on fire, please. And I would go into his labs, and someone had developed this artificial intelligence that would play World of Warcraft, don't remind me letters, but World of Warcraft on this game with 8 screens set up and just trying to burn up the processor, trying to make it all happen. And so it just interesting. And so he was always busy, just a busy guy. People always calling and reporting, hey, this guy in Japan broke this and did you pass the test on this, blah, blah. And he's like, it's 2 a.m. Call me in the morning. They're like, we need it now. So he always just had things going on. People would have to schedule appointments for months out. It was just hard to get a hold of him. But he always had instant line access to 3 people. Boom. Get a hold of him anytime, any meeting. Was his 3 sons, me, John, Pat. Remember, sometimes I'd call my dad just to be like, hey, I'm making popcorn. You want me to leave you some? Like, just dumb things. Like in the middle, I know he's at work, but as a kid, you don't know, you know? So I call him and he's like, I'm in a teleconference right now with China. I need to talk to you later. Is there anything important? Is a hospital involved? Is there an ER? No? Do you want popcorn? Yes, save me some. Right? And I was thinking about this. I have instant access to someone who is crazy busy in a crazy world that's always trying to get a hold of him, but instant access because I'm his son. There's this relationship that's there. We have this instant relationship with the Father because he calls us his children. I know that this is really basics, but I'm trying to build this foundation to get to the third point here. We have instant relationship because he's given us identity as his kids, as his children. Point number 3. I love this. You have to listen closely because it's time to redream because he has redeemed. It's time to redream because he's redeemed. It's time to redream. It's time to redream. I love this idea, this concept that Joseph was sitting there years and years and years later after this original dream happened. He's sitting there in the palace and his family comes up and it says, and Joseph remembered his dreams. Joseph remembered his dreams. Joseph remembered what God did in his life, what God spoke to him. And it was coming true. It took years. I bet a lot of times he probably got frustrated and given up on what God had said because it's been so long. But at that moment, he realized the dream is coming true right now. We're living in it. It's here. Some of us have had amazing, wonderful dreams. God has spoken to us, and we just waited so long. But there's a promise that God will fulfill because he's redeemed us. He's pulled us out because he loves us. He's reclothed our identity because he has a purpose for us. Zechariah 3:8-10. Listen to me, O Yeshua, the high priest. Ooh, he got changed. And all you other priests, they did not yet. You are symbols of things to come. Soon I'm going to bring my servant, the branch. Who's the branch?
Jesus.
Great. That was a test. It's open notes, open book. Number two pencils will be provided. Scantrons in the back. I'm just kidding. Verse 9. Do Scantrons still exist in school?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Wow, that's a lot of animosity towards the Scantron. I remember going to school. This is just a little commercial break in the middle of the message. We're going to school. How many people like you've ever like cheated in a class? Did anyone ever cheat in a class? Everyone who's like not a teacher, just raise their hand. Everyone's a teacher. I remember Scantrons became a thing in our high school, and we got a Scantron machine, and everyone had like their how to trick the Scantron. You put chapstick along the edge. You circle extra big. I'm gonna admit, my Scantron came back a few times looking a little bizarre to the teacher. There was always rumors, and I tried every one of them, and by the grace of God, I passed. I got talked to quite a few times. Why? There's some substance on your Scantron? Really? Oh, someone's lip must have got chapped and they licked it or something. I don't know what happened. Zechariah 3:9. Now look at the jewel I've set before Yeshua. A single stone with seven faucets. I will engrave it on it, an inscription on it, says the Lord of Heaven's army. I can't get into that today, don't have time. And I'll remove the sins of this land in a single day. We all know that's when Jesus died on the cross. All right, verse 10, here's what I'm getting at. And on that day, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree. Love this. I was studying for this message and just praying and just asking God, what do you want me to get across as we have just a couple weeks left in this Dreamer series? And it really sprung out as this. It's not about us. It's not about us. And I had this image that I wanted to share about the fig tree. At this time frame, all of a sudden the fig tree had become a symbol. A fig and the branches had come as a symbol to be on priest robes because the church had identified their symbol as the fig tree. I was like, oh, you know, that's kind of interesting. And so I started looking at the history of the fig tree, like, where did that start? Where's the first mention? So I did a search on it and found something interesting. Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. This is Adam and Eve. And they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Something's going on here. They saw that they weren't good enough for God in a moment and decided to pull leaves from a branch in order to cover up their sinfulness. Then years later, the church takes up the image of the fig leaf and fig tree and has it covering the ephod on the outer garment. Then, even crazier, the people that are trying to follow in the steps and the routines, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the other E's are coming together and they take up the image of the fig tree. And then all of a sudden there's a verse that says, there was a bowl with two figs in it. One was good and one was rotten. Some people didn't get it. And something's going on. Something's going on. And then God says, I'm sending the branch who brings life to grow fig leaves and fig fruit. To say, listen, Adam and Eve tried covering up their sins themselves, but now I'm going to send the exact same thing, but when that covers up your sins, it's done. Welcome back to the garden, homies. Youth camp is still in me a little bit, sorry. It is what it is. Too much turbo. Welcome back to the garden. And I had this interesting thing looking at this verse. Zechariah 3:10, as if they knew I wanted this left up. On that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbors to sit with you peacefully, don't have time for that, under your own grapevine and
tree.
Interesting. That the branch is coming and anyone connected to the branch will be saved. And then he says, the symbol will come. You'll be saved because I provide. I'm the branch. I have the only thing that can cover up your sins. But not only that, I'm not just covering up your sins. I'm providing fruit. What's the fruit for? To invite your neighbor to peacefully come under it. Oh my goodness. Redream. Redream. I've been asked this by almost every person in this church. How do I know if the dream is from God? How do I know? How do you know? I wrote down three things. It's a day of threes, I guess. How do you know if your dreams are from God? Number one, and these are just quick points, worship team, in just a moment, not yet. One, your dream will always grow you closer to God. You grow with God. Two, people will grow with God. One, you grow with God. Two, people will grow with God. And three, it's impossible without God. If you can walk out this door, do your dream, dust your hands off and walk away and say, I did it, I'm done. Chances are, that's not God's dream for you. It's impossible to do without God. It'll grow people closer to God and it'll grow you closer to God. If those three things aren't in effect, I'm willing to say it might not be from God. I love it. God is just stirring up something in our city, in our lives, in our church. There's this new atmosphere and flavor, especially last week and this week, and just the move of God happening. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Go ahead and start making your way forward. Put this out of the way. If you're here today, and as we enter into worship one last time, and you're here today, and you need prayer. You need a word of knowledge. You need God to speak into your heart. And you need to encounter him. Not just in the sense of, hey, I want to worship God and encounter, but you're in the sense of, all right, the branch has showed up and I need to connect myself. I want to be covered completely by the fig trees, if you will, fig leaves, and produce the fruit that God has called me to produce. I'm thrilled that we get to do baptisms right after service and everything that entails. But I'm really excited Because for a couple of you, a few of you, you're going to enter into what God has called you to be. And not just go through routine anymore.